This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, we're going to talk about events. Another one happening as things begin to reopen and take place again. And it's the Greatest of the Grape with the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers. Andrew Calvert kind of organizing a lot of things for the event. Gene Kurtz from the staff of the Wine Growers. Guys, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
So, Gene, first of all, talk about the history of the event. I mean, this is until the last couple of years, this event had been on for a long time.
Yes, 50 years. We were about to celebrate our 50th anniversary in 2020, and that got postponed, and then it finally got canceled, and we're bringing it back.
So when it began, it was pretty small, right?
Oh, right. Richard Summers started it, and I was downtown Roseburg at the Umpqua Hotel. So that was, like I said, now it's 52 years ago.
And some people are like the Umpqua what? I mean, if you haven't been around Roseburg for a long time, some people, you're going to have to ask somebody. They'll explain it to you or Google it. You'll figure it out. But it was known as really like the longest running wine event in Oregon, right?
Correct. The pairing of food with wine and celebrating it, yes.
And so I guess, do we kind of call the past 2 years like a mulligan? Can we keep saying, I mean, because yeah, we took a break, but so did everybody else. So
yeah, it was pretty quiet for all event places.
So Andrew, talk about how you got involved in this.
I actually got pulled in by Charlie Becker back in 2014 to do the decor for the event, and have just stuck around and kept doing it. And I started doing the helping with the promotional materials, designing those, and entertainment, all the way up to now being in charge of the event.
And this year, talk about where it's going to be and what's going on.
So yeah, we're bringing it back to, we're doing the Southern Oregon Wine Institute at the college at UCC. And we'll be utilizing both their event space there and the actual outdoor patio for dancing.
And I checked at this point, it looks like the weather's supposed to be pretty good next Saturday.
So. Yeah, we're looking good, so. We'll still have tents and heaters just in case, but
yeah, it's Oregon, so you gotta be prepared. How many people can you put in there?
We're selling 300 tickets,
so a little bit smaller than in days past, but it's probably the way to kind of phase back into things.
Yeah, just slowly fill it out and come back and then go stronger later.
So, Gene, talk about what happens in the course of the evening.
All right. Well, it'll be, again, the food pairing with wine. There'll be a red and a white wine at each station. 19 of our wine growers will be there, so that's good. We have 22 in the valley, so that's a good representation. So lots of food and lots of good wine, and there'll be music. In the tasting room area, there's a piano, so someone will be playing the piano. And out in the tent, the white tent, there'll be a band. So.
Pretty cool setup. Talk about the aspect of pairing wine and food, because for a lot of people, they don't necessarily start out with wine thinking that direction. They just have a glass of wine because they have a glass of wine. But the whole idea of pairing food and wine together really seems to make a big difference.
Right. It'll get your taste buds going, and you appreciate the wine with the accent of the right food, and that's what's the plan. So,
you know, when I was beginning to learn about wine about 15 years ago, having really never really drank more than a few glasses a year, and I would just sort of point at something at a menu and go, "Oh, well, I'll get that." I didn't even know what a varietal was. That was how little I knew about wine. But as I got an opportunity to begin to learn, and somebody was talking about food and wine pairings, and that was still kind of going over my head. And I had been at some of the events that were going on, was starting to help with some of those. And then one night, I had had, I don't remember what kind of wine it was, but I had a glass of wine with dinner and sitting there watching something on TV, and went back and got a stray piece of pizza left over from something. And it was pepperoni pizza. And I remember taking a bite of the pizza, taking a bite of the wine, and the wine had totally changed. And it was like a light bulb. I mean, it was like 11 at night. I wanted to call somebody, but I didn't. But I mean, it really, the light bulb went off. And after that, I mean, I'm still learning that whole area, but it is amazing to contemplate, you know, especially for special meals, you know, what are you having? To stare at, you know, a wine location, a vendor, one of the vineyards, and figure out what would be good with this food.
Excellent. Yes. Brings out the flavors for sure.
So, Andrew, I know that you do a lot of events as well. What are your thoughts about wine and food pairing and how important that is?
Well, I'm the non-drinker of the group, so I don't really know a lot about that. But it does make a difference, I think, if you have the right food and the right wine put together. But I'd be the wrong person to ask about that, probably.
So there's an interesting aspect about that, then, that you're not a wine drinker, but yet you're organizing all this event because you obviously like to see people have fun.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the event planner person, so I can orchestrate all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, and talk about what goes into to doing it this year, because it was probably, you probably had to make multiple plans depending on how things were by the time we got here.
Yeah, we were a week and a half away from the event when COVID hit and we had to shut it down. And then we were negotiating several different times with different places, and if we think we'd have a plan going, and we'd have to change it again. And then this is event is, like you said, it was a smaller event this year, so we're kind of having to approach it a little different and adjust things and still make it just as fun as the other bigger events that we've done, but, you know, make it fit with what we have to deal with this
and
year.
It seems like people are, it really depends on people's, you know, what they've gone through the last couple of years. I mean, some people are ready to jump right in, and some people are like, well,
yeah,
maybe.
A little cautious, yeah.
A little more cautious. It's interesting to just watch how that rolls out, but you've got to kind of take everybody's thoughts there as you try to put the event together. But what a great place to do it at Soei. Talk about what you like about that venue.
Yeah, it's nice that we have the outdoor space that we can utilize with a great view around there, and to be able to support the college and their wine winery and wine program out there. So the space is, yeah, just a great kind of more intimate, homier feel to it. So it'll be great to bring that event, that portion to the event. So,
and if people haven't been there, the view from certain places, yeah, of that is just incredible.
Yeah, there's from even the patio area or from the bar area, the view you can just see forever.
You can see the river, yeah.
Right. And Jean, talk about what it's been like for wine growers the last couple of years.
Well, they've been creative to make things happen. They have active wine club members that have been loyal through this time. They've made special arrangements to pick up their wine and keep the wine going. So they got creative, and I think they did really well. So
I've noticed going to a different vineyards, people have come up with different things, even during the winter. I don't even know what you call them. Essentially enclosures where you can have a small group of people be out of the weather, but be on your own and not be part of a big group and all that. I mean, it really has taken a big shift.
Yes, exactly. But that it's been wonderful how everyone pulled together and kept things going, and people still wanted their wine, you know, and so they made it work.
And some people actually wanted more wine during during the pandemic as well. Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Andrew Calvert and Gene Kurtz with us talking about Greatest of the Grape from the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It is 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. Later today, Umpqua Valley Live, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. We'll be talking about theater and art galleries and even bicycling in our program today. Well, we're talking about Greatest of the Grape, the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers. Gene Kurtz here and Andrew Calvert as well. So over the course of the evening, Gene, talk about some of the things that will be going on other than just the food and wine pairing, some of the things that people can do.
There's going to be a library wine auction. Our wineries have donated it, and it's an opportunity for people to buy a bottle of wine, not sure what's in the bag, and then the money is used towards our event, so that's good. It's a wine auction, so that'd be good.
Well, and I would guess that you really aren't going to go wrong there.
Correct.
Just kind of a little fun mystery, so that's pretty cool. What else is happening during the evening?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, the piano music in the tasting room area, band outside for dancing under the big white tent, and just a good time to visit with your friends, and then the auction as well. So, and we're, like you said, we're gearing up after being shut down for 2 years because of COVID, and so we're bringing it back as a simpler event to get it going and get the momentum going. But I think people are really ready to get out and do something and have fun with their friends and enjoy the wonderful wine we have here in the Umpqua Valley.
Well, and it's amazing too, as we know from past years, the interest in wine that is produced here has really grown, and you see more and more people coming in, maybe not during COVID, but in general coming in, especially this year, starting to come back in and check out wine that are, you know, coming from Portland and other places in Oregon.
You bet. And we produce over 40 varietals in the valley, so our soil and our growing conditions really help us produce such a variety, which is phenomenal. Yeah.
Well, and I don't remember the exact term that I'm thinking of right now, but I think it's that we have more varietals in our area than like the same amount of space in Europe. I mean, it's just because over there, you are in some cases regulated to what you grow based on what varietal is best in that area. And it's actually, you know, around here you can experiment and you may get it wrong. But that's on you.
Yeah.
But in other parts of the world, there's places where you can only grow this or that varietal. So it's kind of interesting that we can grow so many here.
Yes, exactly. And Northern County, the cooler climate, that's good for the white grapes. They have Pinot Noir as well. And then in our South County, we have the Spanish grapes, you know, like at El Abacelo with Tempranillo and so forth. So such a variety within our 60-mile radius.
Well, and there is temperature differences in the valley. For instance, if you're out by Abacelo, the average temperature in certain points of the year is 8 degrees warmer than it is out in Melrose, where they tend to grow other things.
You bet. And like I mentioned, up in Elkton, North County, they get the effects of the ocean, you know, from the Pacific Ocean, the breeze, the air, cooler climates.
So do you see, I mean, I was driving around a few weeks ago working on a project and beginning to, you know, see the, it was kind of pre-spring at that point, but you were beginning to see things come out of winter, you know, essentially. And I was looking at how many properties and looking at some of the development, drove around at a few vineyard locations that I hadn't seen in a while. And boy, the amount of acreage continues to grow.
It certainly does.
And it's just amazing that I think some people didn't, you know, we were growing there for a while. A lot of people thought, well, how big is this going to get? Well, it seems like it's going to get a whole lot bigger around here. Some of those may not be tied to a direct winery. They may be, you know, grown here and then go elsewhere. But boy, people really like the climate.
You bet.
So, Andrew, for the event, you're into making things look cool. Talk about some of the, or do you want to tell us about some of the decorations? Or are we supposed to be surprised when we get there?
It's usually a surprise when we get there. So it'll probably be a little less than, you know, the what we normally do in the big ballroom at Seven Feathers or other places like that. But we're still trying to make it just as beautiful an experience. And we're kind of doing it. Going back more to like a, you know, a vineyard grape kind of theme this year. So you'll see a little bit of that in the decor.
Neat. And we've got people here in wine that have been here for a very long time, but obviously a lot of folks that have come into it in the past number of years from out of the area. It seems to be like a favorite second career for a lot of people.
Yes, that's true. We've had two new wineries in the last year. They're new to the industry. But there's a Meadow Estate, which is up North Valley. And then we have Knotsman's, which was the former Glazer property, right there along the river by River Forks Park. And so those are families that are starting in the wine industry and have purchased, you know, the wineries and making it happen. That's exciting. And it is second careers for both those individuals.
Right. And then you've got people that are growing grapes on land they used to grow other things on decades ago.
Yeah, lots of orchards. You know, we had the, again, the richness of the valley, the fertileness of the valley. We had lots of orchards, and fruit was taken out on the train in years past. So, but a lot of those orchards are being replaced by vineyards.
I know the wine growers initially kind of struggled when COVID hit. I mean, you had all the, you know, so many things were shut down in terms of actually going for tasting, but you could certainly go and pick up wine, and that continued. And it's been interesting to watch how everybody's kind of adapted to that. And probably some things that came out of that are going to continue in the future. Like some of the, you know, people, some people were doing, actually a lot of people were doing virtual events, or they would have like the, you know, the home tasting kits where you could show up, or they could even ship you maybe, you know, a number of samples of wine. And then you could essentially watch the video and taste along with the winemaker.
And then order some wine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been interesting to watch. And now people are excited to get back out into some of these events. What else does the wine growers have coming down the road?
Well, last year we started a new event, which was in November. That was our first stepping out party, so to speak. And we took our wine to Eugene and went there and did another wine and food pairing event, trying to draw the Eugene Springfield market and expose them to the Umpqua Valley wine. And it was a good beginning. And so we hope to do that again, plan to do that next November as well as our second annual event. So that was good. We've had to postpone the barrel tour. We haven't brought that back. It's very popular. Again, concerned about putting people, 45 people in a bus, but there is a demand for it, but we haven't picked up on that one yet.
Yeah, and that would commonly draw close to 1,000 people at it. Just amazing to see how that worked.
Yes, and a lot of people from out of the area, you know, pre-bought buses, you know, people would have their business partners come and tour the valley. So we'll just ride out this year and see how things go. We just want to continue to be safe and cautious.
So, Andrew, what about, can you tell us anything about the some of the foods that people can taste at this event?
Oh, well, this year we're not doing the restaurants this year. It's going to be a different direction where we'll just have a chef prepare the food. So we'll do a kind of a bigger cheese and bread kind of charcuterie table and add just some more hors d'oeuvres and stuff to that. And then we'll have probably two or three appetizer stations where there'll be some appetizers that people can try. So it'll be a little different than years past, but still good food. So
just about out of time, but we want to let people know that we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the event, but we're not doing it right now. So you've got to listen on Monday during the morning report, and we'll roll it out and do it then. But if you're interested in going, make sure and be listening Monday morning. We'll tell you how to do that. How about getting tickets online? Where do people go?
Let's go to our website, umpquavalleywineries.org, and click on the link to Greatest of the Grape, and then it'll take you to Eventbrite where you can order your tickets.
And the event is happening what date?
April 9th. Our VIP hour has been sold out, so that's at 6 o'clock. But we have tickets available for those that can come at 7. And the event goes till 10 p.m.
All right, perfect. Gene Kurtz, Andrew Calvert, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And be listening on Monday for a chance to win tickets to Greatest of the Grape, 1257, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.